A court spokesman says Balkman's expected to take the case under advisement, and it could take at least a month for him to reach a decision. Governor Kevin Stitt spent a record amount of money on inauguration festivities. Here's Beth Myers.
A finance report shows Governor Kevin Stitt's inaugural committee spent more than $2.4 million on inauguration festivities in January. That's more than former Governor Mary Fallon spent on both of her inaugurations combined. A spokesman for Governor Stitt told The Oklahoman costs were higher because there were multiple events to accommodate as many people as possible who wanted to see the incoming governor. Donnell Harder says the events were wildly successful.
I'm Jacqueline Scott.
If it's bling for your finger, it's on sale next weekend at Diamonds Direct. Yes, it's Diamonds Direct's annual summer ring sale, July 26th through 28th. Best prices of the year on all rings. Extra savings on thousands of engagement ring mounting. Plus all eternity bands, all fashion rings, all wedding bands, all colored gemstone rings. Take your existing diamond and give it new life with a new set. And save like never before. Meet the designer. See all the newest ring styles. It's 3 days of extra savings on all rings. July 26th through 28th only. And only at Diamonds Direct.
And welcome to One-on-One with the Professionals, a paid program segment right here on K1. With me today is Kurt Mead, and it's always great to see you, and sometimes even twice in the same day, sometimes even three times. We run into each other an awful lot, don't we now? We're going to be talking about a lot of different things today. First of all, some hard questions of faith.
I want to ask some hard questions of faith, Tom, so I'm going to interview you.
Oh, okay, good. I'm up for the challenge.
I'd like to know. This is kind of a tough question here. Mm-hmm. How come when you go to a funeral that we always preach the deceased into heaven?
We
always preach the deceased into heaven.
That's a good question. I think that all of us probably need all the help we can get, but by the grace of God, you're going to go there.
Well, I tell you what, Kevin says, because that's what we want to hear as those in attendance.
Yeah.
And it's kind of type of thing where, it's something we're afraid to ask. We just don't want to approach it head on. Yeah. We want to think death is far off.
But in actuality, it's not. You never know the hour or the day.
Well, I heard a man yesterday on one of the talk show, I think it was a host, Cunningham, maybe?
Yeah, Bill.
Yeah, yeah, Bill Cunningham. And he said, he's talking about all the battles and this and that in the legislature and the Democrats and the Republicans and going at it. But he said, until I reach my reward in heaven, I thought, Bill, how do you know that? How do you know that, Bill? Uh-huh. You think maybe, possibly, that we think we're all basically good?
I think many people have that idea of themselves. I think most people do.
I do too, Tom. And the thing about it, I tell you how that was introduced and where it was introduced. It was introduced in the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
You know how?
God said.
Because Eve, she thought she could have that ideal life by eating from that fruit.
Sure.
And she did.
Oh, she ate it, and boy, it all changed.
And we inherited that sinful nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's you go to many, I'll call it religious groupings, organizations, and we want that non-offensive texture.
Sometimes you got to hear the straight stuff, man.
Sometimes you have to hear the straight stuff. And I wonder sometimes, Tom, if it's just easier to, maybe is it easier to gravitate towards morality? Think, well, I'm basically a good moral person. I go to church, I do this and that, and I don't talk too bad about my neighbor.
But the fact that you do it all is a whole new story.
That's right. And this sounds kind of strange, but I was reading in Exodus how the Lord told Moses, if a man has a ox, and that ox gores a person, and that person dies, if the man doesn't take responsibility, then that man, the owner of the ox, is held accountable.
Mm.
And I kind of wonder if we use our tongue as a goring ox.
This day and age, and I imagine for the past several thousand years, we have.
And there's so many things in God's Word that we just, it's kind of, well, let's go back to where does faith begin?
Where does it begin?
Where does it begin? I'll tell you where it begins. We're told in Luke that if we can't be found faithful with the smallest thing, how can we be found faithful with great things?
That's pretty good principle there to base it on, you bet.
What do you think the smallest, most insignificant thing in God's kingdom is?
Got me.
Money.
Money. He doesn't need it.
And just look how much value we put on it.
Mm-hmm. We put a lot of a great deal of emphasis, probably more emphasis than we need.
Because what happens, we want to live that comfortable, that easy life, mm-hmm. a life of ease and comfort, and that's kind of what we want to hear. We don't want anyone to really disrupt our rowboat.
No, we don't. We don't like that at all. Anything that kind of gets in the way of an easy flow, we get jittery.
We really do, Tom. And I tell you what, we have, Jesus called them hirelings, those who are hired to wash the sheep. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wonder if we have a bunch of hirelings out there to wash the sheep, but their heart is not actually in it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not actual shepherds.
No, they're just kind of filling the, like a placeholder for right. the time being. And you got to question that.
You have to really question that. And you know, we turn these, you might say these sheepfolds where the sheep are supposed to graze and eat and nourish, we turn those into amusement, entertaining centers.
Hmm.
We want to become the hub of entertainment, of amusement, of bringing people in, and sure they give their hearts to the Lord and this and that, but there's really no stability there.
We're kind of going through that in our house right now. Being new and kind of trying to find a place to land and things like that, and it's, oh, whoa.
And really, Tom, mm-hmm. what happens is we come up with pat carbon copy answers.
Mm-hmm.
The religious type of answer. Well, I'm what the Bill Cunningham said, until I reach my reward in heaven. Mm-hmm. And we talk about heaven, but then we don't talk about the specifics. And we look at people who God highly exalted because of their faith, because of their faithfulness, because of their reliability, and they talked about a city. Abraham, he said he looked for a city. He wasn't talking about any reward in heaven. Heaven is a celestial place, mm-hmm. but there's a city in heaven. And we can read about that city in Hebrews. We can read about that city in Revelation. There's several places. We can even have the dimensions of the city. We can even read about God's government, but we don't really want to take the time to find out about that because maybe it's just too uncomfortable or takes too much effort.
Maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah, a little bit of both. A little bit of both.
Yeah.
So how can we reconcile the straight, narrow path of God to everyone gets to heaven at death?
Well, that's going to be a tough reconciliation, but grace is the word that comes to mind.
And Jesus said, few be that find that path. Mm-hmm. He said the path is straight and narrow, but few be that find it.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we missing the path?
Because it goes back to number one. We think pretty high of ourselves.
We think pretty high of ourselves. And how come...
That path should mold to us.
And how come, Tom, with Jesus, a man was getting ready to go to the funeral, and Jesus called him to follow him, and Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. He didn't say that man's going to die and go to heaven.
No.
He said he was dead. He said, let the dead bury the dead. And there's a scripture in Romans that said, let every man be a liar, but let God be true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole world could lie.
And it often does.
And it does. But God is true. Mm-hmm. So I think really where we can kind of get our model, our example, is going back to the Good Samaritan.
Yeah, I think so.
We can learn a lot about that Good Samaritan. Mm-hmm. He had a different standard of good, what good actually means. You know, like you brought up last time we met, you know, a good Samaritan, we think, well, someone who does a good deed or this or that, they're a good Samaritan. Well, that's not what Jesus was getting at.
No, not at all.
He was really talking about a man who left Jerusalem, a highly elevated city, way above sea level, and he went all the way down to the low depths of Jericho, way below sea level. Mm-hmm. So what do you think that man was doing?
He was taking a journey.
He was taking a journey, and that was a journey we all took beginning at the garden. We took that long journey all the way to the depth of the pit, to the valley, to the canyon. And then what we do in the canyon, we want to make the best out of a situation. You know, we don't want any first responders coming in and rescuing us. We're comfortable where we're at.
Yeah, there is a thought process like that.
There's a thought process, and you think about the road to Jericho, how deep it was,
mm-hmm.
how it must have really, the man, I think it said, Tom, the man, he fell among thieves. And you know that path, it had to have wolves on it, it had to have thieves, it had to have all kinds of dangerous, very hostile, it was a hostile territory. But we don't look at it that way. We think this life is good.
Oh, there's a lot of hostility. There are a lot of wolves out there. They just don't look the same maybe as they did in biblical times, but they behave quite very similarly.
They behave quite similar. And what happens is, don't you think maybe that we've taken the ideal disaster, the perfect disaster, and we've made it into our home?
Mm.
We've built a lifestyle around what we're supposed to be not doing,
mm-hmm.
rescuing people, talking to him about what's going on spiritually, talking to him about faithfulness, talking to him about the disciplines. You know, I mean, it's difficult. I mean, it's difficult for me, even on the radio, to talk about what we're talking about today.
Oh, yeah.
Because who wants to hear it?
There are a lot of people just kind of wincing a little bit, going, hey, you know, Kurt, you're a little close to home there, brother.
But you talk about the Good Samaritan going into this hostile territory, Tom. And the thing about the Samaritan, he was as tough as nails.
Had to be.
He had to be. And he was bold. He was courageous. But mm-hmm. his heart was as soft as tissue. He was looking for those few people who needed to be rescued. You know, we don't think we need to be rescued. We haven't reached the bottom of the pit yet.
You hear that story oftentimes about people who have compulsions that are detrimental to them, or just behaviors that are just so detrimental to them, and they're not about to change. They're comfortable with that depth. They're comfortable in that pit. They're comfortable until they hit the wall and slide even further. And then, and only then, do they realize, you know, I might be the problem. My actions might be the problem. The way I treat other people might be the problem. It doesn't dawn on them till sometimes it's just about too late.
And what happens, Tom, is when we're reaching the bottom of the pit, I mean, maybe age creeps in. You know, we're doing fine. Mm-hmm. You know, things are going good. We've grown adapted to the world, but age creeps in. Our strength starts to wane.
Mm-hmm.
Our money is not as bright and shiny as it once was.
Mm-hmm.
The things that we thought were important, they're not quite as important anymore.
No, they're not.
But we, being younger, mm-hmm. you know, we mm-hmm. see all the glitter and the glamour of the pit.
Oh yeah, let's go for the sparkly things.
Let's go for the gusto.
Oh yeah, I remember that term a long time back.
So what did the Samaritan have to do? The Samaritan, he had to go into the deepest, darkest regions of the pit.
Yes, he did.
And what did he do?
He found someone.
Found someone
needed help more than he needed help, and he rescued, is the word we want to use here, or help rescue this fallen person.
Yep. And so what happened is this man or woman who he was rescuing, do you think they said, hey, you know, let me pack my laptop. Let me pack my flat screen TV. let me pack a few of my friends, a few of my social networks.
I imagine that poor soul had none of those things, including friends, at that moment. I imagine it was just him and just barely hanging on.
Barely hanging on. And sometimes I wonder, Tom, mm-hmm. if we want to pack all this stuff and it weighs us down,
mm-hmm.
we can't be rescued. I mean, we think we can in our mind, mm-hmm. but we can't.
No.
If EMC, they go into a disaster area, are they going to want to lift out a person who has all this baggage attached to them?
No, they're going to go to the person, and the other stuff, inconsequential.
They're going to have to cut some of that stuff off that person. Yeah. Tennis shoes, stuff like that, whatever. Mm-hmm. What the non-essential things are going to have to be cut off. But we blame God and say, hey, I'm blessed of the Lord because I have all this stuff.
Oh.
I think we have things twisted around here in America, Tom.
I think we have it pretty much around the world that way. We're thankful for the comforts that we enjoy. And sometimes we don't realize that simply being alive is greater than any comfort you can think of. When it comes to things, yes, we often thank our Maker for providing us with sustenance so that we can go forward and keep on. But beyond that, when we pray, some of us, we think a little bit more to the superficial than we should with what's closest to us, like our hearts, our souls, and the friends and family around us.
You hit the nail on the head, and really, Tom, what happens is we're told in Romans mm-hmm. that if we confess our sin, or we come to the Lord and believe in our heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, but it doesn't say that our heart is divided,
mm-hmm.
and we come to Him and our hearts are divided. We have all this stuff we're attached to, and we can't be that. We're told over in I'm not sure exactly what book now, but there's an Old Testament book that says that I'm going to test you by all this stuff to see where your heart is.
Mm-hmm.
And so these men, these rescue men and women who go into the disaster area, they're going to have to test this person to find out if they still have some fight left in them. You want to try to rescue someone who still has some fight left in them, who's fighting you?
Mm.
No. And they've done that before.
Oh, yeah.
And they've had to, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, they've had to kind of
neutralize the situation.
Neutralize, to put it mildly, you know. Take the person out, inject them with something. So, because all they want to deal with is that human frame.
Yeah.
They don't want to deal with the materialism, the stuff they, you know, if I was going to go to heaven in the American way, I'd have to have three U-Hauls. The Samaritan, when he rescued that man didn't say, hey, you have some pack mules to load all my stuff on?
No, he didn't say that at all.
Didn't say that, but that's what we preach in America. Mm-hmm. That God wants to bless us, prosper us. That's not prosperity. That's a curse.
Mm. Yeah, it turns into one real quick.
And you know, by moving a time or two, how much that stuff actually weighs.
Yeah, I've got to... yeah, that's heavy.
That's heavy. And so when the Samaritan, he looked down from Jerusalem, uh-huh. down the Jericho Road, he knew there was only one way in and one way out.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any other way.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, that road is straight and narrow. I don't need a bunch of stuff to put on pack mules to cart back up to Jerusalem. So he's going to wait until we get to the point where that stuff doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
That... what they call it, the ratio, the debt to asset ratio won't mean anything to me.
No, not at all.
Not at all. You know, I've heard of men, prosperous men here in Bartlesville who've passed on. They were telling other people what stocks to buy on their deathbed.
I'll be. Let's take a quick break here for K&M Lawn Care Service, and we'll be back with Kurt Mead right here on K1.
A&M Small Engine Repair and Lawn Service Care can help you with all of your lawn care needs this year. They have a repair shop located at 605 North Osage Avenue in Dewey to work on your lawnmowers. They can also order parts for you if you want to work on it yourself, and offer free pickup and delivery service for Dewey and Bartlesville City Limit customers. If you don't have the equipment or just don't have the time, their lawn mowing crew would love to help you take care of your lawn so that you can do other things with your extra time. For free quotes for lawn care services, call 918-534-8045 or text 918-766-1191 for more information or pickup. Find them on Facebook, K&M Small Engine Repair and Lawn Service.
It's 9:52, or 8 minutes away from 10 o'clock, 76 degrees. Kurt Mead is in with us. And, Kurt, before we get back to what we were talking about, tell folks how they can get a hold of you and where they can find maybe the help that they need.
Okay. They can reach me at 918-397-0284. That's 918-397-0284. And, Tom, we're at 132 Southeast Chalwell, just south of RX Express, just off of Washington Boulevard on Chalwell. And I'd be glad to field their questions, talk to them about what we're talking about this morning. And really, to get right down to it, we're more into, I mean, this we're heading into football season, and there's a term they use in football called smash mouth.
Oh, yeah. So very familiar.
So, you know, what we're talking about here, it might be more of a smash mouth living. It's something that it's very, you might say uncomfortable, but it's necessary.
Yeah, it is. You know, there are a lot of different ways to go through this world. Some of it with blinders on, some of it where you put your rose-colored glasses and see things the way that only you want to see them through that prism. But we get back to the narrow path, and there's only one of those.
There's only one narrow path. And I was thinking also, Tom, Jesus gives a parable about a fellow, Lazarus, and the rich man. And the rich man, he didn't end up in such a good place. He didn't end up with, like Bill Cunningham said, he didn't end up with the rewards of heaven. He ended up in the other place.
Oh, yeah.
And he talked to Abraham, and he said, you know, send someone back to warn my brothers. And the Abraham said, they have the Bible. They have the law. I mean, what more? If a person's raised from the dead, they wouldn't believe that anymore. So we have everything we need. Mm-hmm. It's all in the book, but we have to be willing to crack the book open.
Yeah, you do. You absolutely do. And one thing that I'm happy to see in this day and age is that people are doing that more and more. They can stand to do it a lot more. I could stand to do it a lot more. We all could. But it's the fact that they're even reaching for it.
That's the key, reaching for it. And we're told in Psalms 1, he who meditates upon God's word shall prosper in whatever he does. So if I want to dedicate my time to God's word, I'm going to be prosperous. Maybe not in materialism, maybe in materialism. But I will know what to do with that materialism when it comes my way. Mm-hmm. I won't hoard it and want to put in a U-Haul or a pack mule.
Put it to good use and help the folks.
And so what happens, Tom, as the Lord rescues his people, his sheep, then he wants his sheep to create triage units to be other rescue groups. But we get so busy with this and that we don't really see the essence of what we're doing as important.
And it just slips on by, and sometimes without even a thought. That's the heartbreaking part.
That's the heartbreaking part. And that's what we're doing there at the clinic. We have patterns, we have conditions, we have fundamentals. It's like I was talking with Charlie one time. It's kind of like spring training. We go through, we're trained in the ways of righteousness, and then we take that to our homes, to our businesses, to our workplaces, to our schools. But we have to be trained. You know, if I can't be faithful with the small things, and the person working as a EMS and a triage unit, if they can't be faithful in the small thing, you can't allow them to be faithful in something that's larger.
No, because something's going to be distracting them. They're going to allow themselves to be distracted, and things are not going to be as things should be. And when it comes to life or death or heaven or hell, that's big.
That's a big thing, Tom. And also, we gave credit to K&M Lawn Care, I'd also like to give credit to Aaron's Performance. They've been with us from the get-go.
Oh, great.
They're right across the boulevard from AFC Glass on Washington, I guess it'd be 75, the Dewey, Bartlesville city limits. Mm-hmm. And if someone would like to contact Aaron, they can at 440-9754. That's 918-440-9754. He's a man, and he has a team of mechanics, so they do an excellent job.
Very, very good. And we want to thank them for helping out and getting this word out here to everyone who is looking for a little help and now able to at least have the ears and the whereabouts to find the help. It's 9:56, and Kurt Mead is with us here today. And again, let's tell the folks where they can find you outside of the radio.
It's 132 Southeast Chalwell. We're 132 Southeast Chalwell. They can reach me on my cell, 918-397-0284. We have units or chapters of people who come in. We keep the units or the chapter small, Tom, because that way we can have better interaction. And so if the more people come in, the more chapters we have throughout the day and throughout the week.
And by keeping them small, it's more intimate, and you break down the walls.
Break down the walls. They're usually from 3 to 5 people, and we use a lot of DVDs in our curriculum. We do a lot of Bible journaling. We start out in the book of Genesis, and I have people who they've already worked up into the book of Joshua and different areas just by hand scripting the scripture. And they said they've learned so much by actually doing that.
Well, I bet. You know, you get the a different feel other than simply reading. You get to know your Bible in different ways. And I think that really helps facilitate the learning process so that it's committed to memory and to heart forever.
That's it. And I know we just have a couple minutes left, Tom. And like Charlie and I, we talked about for, you know, believe it or not, years. We talked about up here to be still and know He's God. Be still. If you're going through a crisis, if you're not going through a crisis, if you're just still for a few moments, just to have that place where you're away from everything and your mind is focused on the Lord, said, be still and know I'm God. You know, I can make a boo-boo, a mess up. I can be on cloud nine. I can be down the pits. But I can also know, hey, I can find that special place and God will meet me there.
That's always good to know, because there are some people who are very, and all of us are, I think, from time to time, impulsive, can't wait, and just impatient. And when that happens, that's when a lot of different triggers start to take effect, and your behavior changes, and you start, again, going away from that one straight and narrow path. You start to lose your way. Be still.
Be still. The journaling, we do a lot of, it's like the tortoise and the hare. We talked about mm-hmm. that. We're the tortoise and the hare. We just slow life down so we can actually smell the roses.
Wow, what a concept. What a concept indeed. Kurt, it's always great seeing you at any time and at any place, and especially right here on the radio. We can hear you on Mondays, certain Mondays right here on K1. And, of course, I see you out and about. I mean, come on, man. You can't swing a cat and not hit Kurt someplace, because he's everywhere. Yeah, you put on more miles a day than a marathon runner, and I really am a fan of your energy and also a fan of your wisdom and your teaching, too. And, again, for folks who want to give Kurt a call, let's toss out the number again.
918-397-0284, 918-397-0284. And thank you, Tom, for having me this morning, and I will see you very soon.
All righty. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with a Professional, a paid presentation at 1400 K1. Before you ride the waves, make sure your boat is properly insured at Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460. This is KWON Bartlesville, K227CQ Bartlesville.
This is CBS News on the Hour. Real news, real reporting.
I'm Steve.